It's the Minnesota Tim Podcast on a Thursday morning, which means one thing. It is Jake's Takes time on the Minnesota Tim Podcast. Jake, how's life? Give us an update. What you eating? What you gonna eat later? Who are you gonna talk to? Who aren't you gonna talk to? Who did you see? Who didn't you see?
Life is good.
Where are you going? Where aren't you going?
Life is good since we last talked last Thursday. Having honeycomb. I'm a cereal guy for breakfast.
Okay.
So I always get, buy one box of cereal and basically have it seven times. And then the next week buy a new box of cereal. Every once in a while, I'll get in a mood where I'll have like toast or oatmeal. Or even rarer, I'll buy those like pre-made like frozen breakfast sandwiches.
Interesting.
And like the egg sausage and cheese, like muffin or whatever.
Yes.
From the grocery store. So I'll buy a 4-pack of those and go hard.
But if you had to give us the top 5 cereals, rank them in order from best to worst, where would your top 5 rank?
I don't know if I can come up with like a number 1 or 2, but some of my usual,
your go-tos.
My go-tos. I have Frosted Flakes a lot.
Okay.
Because I have some staples and I have some like special treats,
kind of underdogs, kind of, or
like ones that I know I probably shouldn't eat, but sure. Every once in a while, you're like, I just gotta go for it. Mm-hmm. Like last week, I had Lucky Charms, like that's not what I want every week. I'm an adult, but every once in a while, it's just kind of a nice little treat,
sure.
Anyway, so Frosted Flakes is in the regular rotation.
Statistically, is Honeycombs even better than Lucky Charms?
Probably not. No, that also is kind of a treat.
Yeah.
But the other ones I got I have Raisin Bran.
There you go.
All the different varieties of Chex.
Ah, wow.
Rice, corn, wheat.
Do you ever go with like a random Golden Graham or Cinnamon Toast Crunch?
Yep, every once in a while. Right. Yeah, every once in a while. I like to spread the ball around. So it's.
Yeah.
Over the course of a year, I probably buy every cereal that's on the shelf. It's just because, Cocoa Krispies, you get that every once in a great while. Or
yeah, I'm a big Golden Graham guy. That's Golden my Graham's big underdog. Good. That's my big underdog. I would actually argue that Golden Grahams are better than Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
No, interesting take. I probably would go Cinnamon Toast Crunch, but I wouldn't argue, I wouldn't be arguing against you saying you're wrong aggressively,
Sure.
Kind of the one of the go-to sneaky ones is the Walmart brand of s'mores.
So I've never tried it.
I don't blame you. But so it's literally the reason you might be intrigued is it's Golden Grahams, but not the actual name brand, but like basically the equivalent of Golden Grahams plus Cocoa Puffs plus little marshmallows. And so, yeah, that's pretty good. And Holly likes to just snack on those as a snack, like at night, or, after dinner or whatever. So,
are you a cereal in the breakfast only, or do you like to spread that around as well?
No, yeah, I've never had cereal really as a lunch or a dinner, or like a pre-bed snack or anything. Just in the morning. But if that was growing up too, it's just always been what I ate. I don't know.
I feel like you're really missing out because there is nothing like cereal at if you're up late doing schoolwork or something, there's nothing like cereal at midnight.
I was saying
cereal at midnight might be better than cereal at 6 a.m.
Yeah, that's like a college thing. I mean, that was what people did. And maybe I did a little bit back then, but I also didn't stay up very late.
Yeah.
I'm an early rise guy. So
early bird gets the worm.
What about you? What'd you have for breakfast?
Anything else? I haven't eaten breakfast yet, but I'll probably have a protein shake. Haley and I make a lot of protein shakes. Not the swole protein shakes, some would say. Not the ones that are gonna
You're not bulking right now.
No. I didn't go to the nutritional store and buy a $60 pack, $60 pack of protein shake. It's more of a nutritional fill you up, give you the nutrition, calories,
in there? What do you got?
So I like to mix it up and enjoy a little randomness in my shake. So you got the powder. Okay. And the powder by itself, I made a mistake one time and forgot to put the rest of it in there that I typically do, and it's just absolutely terrible. It's nasty. I cannot eat the powder by itself. But then I put some peanut butter in there.
Yeah.
Almond milk.
Yep.
You throw a half a banana or a full banana.
Yep.
And then if I'm feeling interesting or want a little extra boom in my taste, I'll throw in some frozen raspberries as well.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So lots of different stuff in that shake.
Nice. Yeah. Well, I say, do you come, I guess raspberry and peanut butter. I mean, that's like a peanut butter and jelly. So it's not.
Yeah.
My first always was like
raspberry. Yeah. What?
I wasn't sure about that one, but I suppose, I mean, it's whatever. It all just, it all blends together.
It all. Yeah. Yeah. That's the point. I mean, the raspberry kind of, there's like slight raspberry. There's like slight peanut butter.
Yep.
Neither one overwhelms the shake. Actually, you were a part of a conversation between Haley and I this week.
I don't remember.
Oh, you weren't a part of it, but your name was mentioned.
Oh,
you were a reference.
Hopefully good things. Let's hear it.
You were a source. So we were trying to figure out our menus for dinner this week. Haley bought like a little board. Does Holly have like a little board to write things down for the week?
We don't. That's not a bad idea, though. I don't know. We've never done that, though. We just try to use our memories, which doesn't work all the time. But
our memories work well most of the time, but it's a little random, and it's a little bit more planned, a little less stress-free trying to think of something. So we go through our menu at the beginning of the week, and this just started like 2 weeks ago. And we were trying to figure out what to have. What could we have? What could we have? Mm-hmm. Haley mentioned chicken Alfredo. And I'm like, Jacob makes chicken Alfredo for Holly and Jacob. I should reach out to Jacob and ask him how he makes his chicken Alfredo.
Yeah.
So I haven't reached out to you yet and asked you how you make your chicken Alfredo, but I'm pretty sure we're having chicken Alfredo today because Haley bought Alfredo sauce for chicken Alfredo, and we have chicken, so we'll just mix the two together. And we have noodles as well. So enlighten the crowd on how you make chicken Alfredo.
Well, I mean, yeah, that in that version of chicken Alfredo, it's pretty easy because that's just bring everything to temp combined.
Two steps. Yeah. There's not much creativity involved.
No, but when every once in a while we'll buy like store bought sauce because we just don't feel like making one.
Yes.
But we usually make Alfredo, especially we usually make like a homemade Alfredo.
Yeah.
And it's like your butter and flour mixture, and you add cream of sorts. You add all your seasonings and whatnot. I don't even remember what I usually add.
Yeah.
Some cheese, some either a sour cream or a little mayo, something.
Yeah.
A little lemon juice.
I can honestly tell you I have not learned anything about making chicken Alfredo after you explained how to make chicken Alfredo.
Okay, so you put the butter and the flour in the pan first. You melt the butter and then add flour. It's a roux.
Okay.
That's going to thicken up the sauce later. Okay?
Yep.
Then you add a bunch of milk or cream to get the actual sauce going.
Okay.
And then you kind of just bubble it a little bit, just a little simmer. And then as the milk mixes with the butter and flour, it's going to thicken up. And then basically all you got to do is add your flavoring of sorts, with cheese being a big deal. And cheese, lemon juice. I guess I don't remember everything off the top of my head what we usually add.
How long would you say this Alfredo sauce takes you to make?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe 15 minutes. I don't know.
Sure. So it's not like a 45-minute process.
No.
Yeah. Pretty quick.
Yeah. Because that's what you can do about the pasta. You know, pasta usually takes like 10 to 15 minutes, I feel like, anyway. So,
speaking of Alfredo sauce, how long does it take you to find items in the grocery store? Like when you walk into the grocery store and you're like, I'm going to go find some Alfredo sauce. Does it take you a long time? Are you walking down different aisles trying to figure out where this Alfredo sauce is? Or do you find it right away?
I feel like at this point we have Walmart memorized. So
that's nice.
Yeah. We are a well-oiled machine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's only if we're buying something that we don't like, it's a rare buy, then every once in a while we'll miss it and have to go back. But for the most part, no, we're an efficient machine. What about you? Are you just wandering around? Do you have a system? Because we have a system. You know, we have an order.
Really?
I mean, and not like it's complex, but we are creatures of habit. We do the same thing every week so that you go through the certain aisles the same way and you just weave through the same way and make sure that you're hitting everything.
I'd say we have a system for sure. I'd say we definitely have a system. We get basically the same things every week too. You know, I got your fruits, your eggs, your gluten-free stuff. There's a gluten-free aisle in Walmart that we go to all the time. But then when it comes to like the spices or like the cans, it's like the cans of beans might not be next to the cans of soup, but it says cans down this aisle. And then it's like the spice wasn't by this spice. This condiment isn't technically considered a condiment, but yet like I think it's a condiment and it's not by the condiments. It's like, so there's some times where it's like I'm literally staring in the condiment section. It's like, why is the ranch not here? That should be considered a condiment. But well, no, it's all over
salad here. Dressing.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, I think it's a condiment.
That's what Minnesotans use it as a condiment.
Yeah. I mean, I don't even eat ranch, really.
No.
But it seems
like why are you looking for the ranch?
Well, because Haley wanted the ranch.
Oh.
Yeah. Got it. Yeah.
So yeah, no, every once in a while, like, we tried to buy pesto a couple weeks ago and we weren't sure where that was. Because we don't buy that, like, often, so... Oh yeah, because that was one where it's like, is it going to be by the sauces or is it going to be by like the seasonings or you know like it, yeah, we weren't sure.
I want to know who's in charge of making those controversial decisions.
They probably have a tough job. I wouldn't want it.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm guessing they get hate mail all.
I was gonna say those angry emails from Grandma Dorothy.
Yeah.
Hey. Ranch is not in the condiment section. Yeah.
And the guy probably goes, yep.
You're right. It's the next aisle over. Okay, so recently, Haley and I have been into watching All-Star Edition America's Got Talent on...
Okay.
Monday, I think it's on Monday nights. It's a very simple question for you. So, you know, you got a bunch of different people doing these different things. You got singers and you got dancers and you got choreographers. And then you got these randoms, like we were watching a situation where there was a guy blindfolded. Now, you wonder if they're really blindfolded or not, right? I mean, that's kind of a question. Like, can they actually see through? How much of this is television production kind of thing? But they put salt on his eyes before they blindfolded him. And then when they unblindfolded him, the salt was still on his eye. So I'm pretty sure that this guy could not see. And this guy was laying on the back, like laying on his back on the ground, on the floor. And the guy that was blindfolded had like a jackhammer, not jackhammer, but like something that you would like break stuff with.
Okay, like a chisel or something? Or
a chisel, but like a big chisel. Like,
yeah.
Like a, you know, like a... Something that you would almost like
a sledgehammer?
The sledgehammer, yes. Yes, thank you. The jackhammer's sibling, the sledgehammer.
I'm the Tim Perotchka interpreter, Minnesota interpreter.
Yes. You are that's such a great name for yourself. That's a great nickname, the Minnesota Tim interpreter. Anyway, this guy's got the sledgehammer. And this guy's lying on the floor, and he's got like watermelon and fruit and like apples surrounding him and blindfolded and like his arms are spread out wide and the watermelon, let's say for example, is in the armpit and the guy with the sledgehammer goes around this guy and literally sledgehammers the fruit and breaks it and it splatters all over the place. So my question is, how do you become good at such a random talent to make America's Got Talent? Because you know, okay, you can practice with like a plastic sledgehammer or like something at the beginning so that when you're bad at it, you're not injuring the guy laying down. But eventually you have to practice with the real sledgehammer, right?
Well, that's yeah, that's a weird talent. I mean, the first thing that comes to mind is like jugglers.
Yeah.
Like, can you imagine that day where, you know, Magic Joe has to go and decide, well, I've juggled the fake chainsaws long enough. Let's add a real one.
Right. Can you imagine a lot of pressure?
Big day for Magic Joe there. Like, yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's obviously that one's juggling is obviously a little bit more main. I don't know. Mainstream is not the right word, but you know, that's something that people do. Yeah. The sledgehammer thing. I don't know how, I mean, it's, I guess the 10,000 hours rule where you're, that's a kind of a working theory that you need 10,000 hours of practice to master a craft.
Yeah. And maybe someone died while they were practicing.
Well, it's probably happened. I'm sure there's been plenty of jugglers that have lost limbs from making that big step.
For sure.
Or even juggling fire. You know what? I don't know why juggling is the only thing coming to mind as an obscure skill, but
yeah,
I'm sure there's other skills as well that are weird and dangerous and risky. But
yeah. Yeah. Well, that was a great point that you made. Thank you. Do you know who Trey Kennedy is?
Trey Kennedy?
Yeah.
Nope.
No, okay. He's like this Instagram, social media. He's pretty funny, to be honest. I think he's like the best kind of guy out there. Haley and I bought tickets yesterday for Haley and I to Trey Kennedy comedy show. He's like a comedy stand-up guy at the Orpheum Theater on July 15th this year. I didn't know if you knew who he was. That's all.
That was the story.
That was the story.
You're just bragging that you bought tickets for your wife.
I was going to ask you, have you ever just made like just a massive move as a husband and you're just like, oh man, I feel good about this one. You know what I mean? Like, well, I'll let you, like, I was browsing Instagram. I was early to youth group last night and I was browsing Instagram, Trey Kennedy. Oh, I'm going on this tour, and this comedy tour, this stand-up tour. And I was looking at the dates and then Minneapolis popped up on July 15th and I'm like, I'm going to make a play here. And then when Haley calls me on the way home from work, I'm going to be like, I got an early birthday present for you, babe. And then she's like, oh, what is it? What is it? What is it? Her birthday's in May. And we're going to a Trey Kennedy concert at the Orpheum Theater on July 15th. And she goes, eee! And I'm like, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, anytime I say yes, I will go hiking, that usually works.
Yeah.
I did buy... we went and saw a comedian on New Year's Eve.
Oh,
and kind of an impromptu, I bought tickets and told her.
Yeah.
So that was kind of
good. Who was the comedian?
Surprise date. Tommy Ryman.
Okay.
He's a local, he's a Minnesota guy. He's been on KFan a few times. That's kind of where he gets his little publicity, but he's pretty, he was good. And it was good. It was for just four Minnesota people and it's very small, low key. You know, there's maybe like 50 to 70 people there or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So it was really intimate.
Oh,
so that was really good. But yeah, that was one.
Sweet. All right.
Yeah.
Well, that was just a random question. I don't know. It was relevant. It just happened yesterday. I will say, like,
Holly had a bad streak of trying to do things like that for me, like buying tickets or buying my birthday gifts.
Ooh.
And then me predicting on accident, like telling her, like, hey, if you're out of ideas, like, so like my junior year of college, or no, my sophomore year of college, I was big into NCAA football 2012, which also could be a statement for any year of my life.
Yes.
So it's redundant there to say.
And you were still in high school in
so it would have been like 14 or 15.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Playing 2012.
Yes. So I just thought the reference point would be important.
Yeah. And my favorite team that I took Akron, the Akron Zips. They were the worst team on the game and made them a powerhouse and won national championships like crazy. And I told her, I was like, hey, if you're looking for a gift, you know, like an Akron Zips t-shirt would be kind of funny. And then she made a face and I was like, oh, did you already buy an Akron Zips t-shirt? And she was like, yes.
That's hilarious.
So, like, that was a great gift idea on her part that I accidentally spoiled.
And that's then a great gift.
It was, because it was creative. It was outside the box.
Yeah.
Yeah. Affordable for a college student.
Yeah.
But, so I ruined Akron that Zips. One. And then a year later or two, I was at iHeart working. And then that back then, I was obviously much more plugged into like every single event that comes through because they always are promoting them.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw Seinfeld was coming. So I texted her right away like, hey, like I'm going to buy tickets to Seinfeld today because I don't want to miss, you know, I don't want to miss that.
The pre-sale, whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. But it wasn't a pre-sale. I just, it was a little bit into it. So I like,
oh, sure.
It was kind of more like too, like before it sells, gets sold out. I don't want to go to the late show. I'd rather go to the early show.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's only a few tickets left. And then she had to text back, I already bought Seinfeld tickets for your birthday. Oh, okay.
Thanks, man.
I will not buy them then.
Thanks for the heads up.
Yeah. So I felt bad because that was two phenomenal birthday gifts on her part that I spoiled on accident. Mm,
darn. Yeah.
Great minds think alike, though. So that's, we're in the same wavelength, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah. There you go.
It's good.
Well, that was a lot of random talk for the first 20 minutes, which was super fun.
Did you want to trash talk Fink at all?
Oh, Fink. I mean, if there's an opportunity to trash talk Fink, let's trash talk Fink.
Yeah, he loved when I brought up when we talked about the football game.
Yeah, what happened? October. Why are we trash talking Fink again?
Well, it was my illustrious return to Watertown Mayor on Tuesday.
Oh.
The old stomping grounds.
Yes, I'm sure their beat reporters were all over the place.
I asked Janicula, I assumed there was going to be like a video, tribute video.
Oh, right.
You know, somewhere between like a Kevin Garnett returning to Minnesota video and a Malik Beasley returning to Minnesota. Like, you know, not either end of that spectrum, somewhere in the middle. Like that they'd play before warmups or
yeah.
something.
Yeah.
But there was nothing. And I didn't, nothing on Twitter. So it was a quiet return. But our JV coach was gone. So I got to coach the JV team, which is what Fink coaches, or the B squad.
Oh, wow. That's
the B squad.
That's awesome.
I didn't tell Fink. I told Janicula ahead of time because I'm like, yeah, this will be funny. And I'm like, I'm going to try to run a backdoor play on the first play because that's always what he does. You know, whatever. Then I walked out
40
there.
And 41 right off out of his playbook. Copied,
yeah, the plays that he runs. Yeah. That'd have been funny. Maybe next time. Then I walked out of the locker room and he kind of was like, Dylan gone? I was like, yep. It's all me, baby. And then, you know, talking, whatever. And ended up being a decent game, you know, back and forth. We took, I think we had a 9 or 10 point lead at halftime. His team wasn't shooting very well. And our point guard only plays one half of B squad. So then the second half, we had a lot of wings that were being point guards and they handled it pretty well. Game got down to the wire, came down to free throws. We made our free throws enough to win 1-4. And he was, you know, I let him know. I let him know who was the better coach. 2-0 on the Fink battle this year.
That's awesome. And you know, it bothers him a little bit too. Like He didn't want to lose. I mean, Not that it's like the biggest deal in the world, but the fact that he lost both times to a former Watertown coach kind of, you know, hurts a little bit.
And someone who's going to talk trash like I do too.
Yeah. Shocks the
pride. I would want to beat me too.
My biggest question is this for the game. When he walked into Watertown, did you need like an assistant walking with you wherever you went just to make sure that he didn't walk into the locker room that you're so accustomed to walking into? Like, you know, professional athletes, the hardest thing they do when they return to an opposing arena or an arena that they played in was, I'm walking in a different locker room. I'm walking into the visitor's locker room. This is so different.
Yeah, you might find this surprising, but Watertown Mayor High School is a little bit smaller than US Bank Stadium.
Oh, sure.
So yeah. I didn't have any issues finding the women's locker room. So out of context, that sounds terrible. So, but no, Paul, the AD, was able to escort. And I thought there'd maybe be like some, I wasn't sure if it'd be a crowd of people ready to cheer me on or a crowd of people, you know, booing me and wanting to fight me. I wasn't sure what was going to happen.
Yeah. What was it? Was there either?
No, there was neither. Nobody cared. It was all the players cared. You know, it was nice to see all the guys, though. I talked to them a little bit before the game, a little bit after the game, quick.
You guys exchanged t-shirts at the end.
We didn't do a jersey swap. No, that would have been good, but we didn't. So it was good to see all them. I mostly got heckled by like middle school kids who were screaming from the crowd.
Yeah.
I heard a few like traitor calls and things like that.
Yeah, did you put your hand on your head and then, you know, scratch your cheek?
I did not. No. Obscene gestures. It's a school place, Minnesota. Yeah. Tim.
Be appropriate.
We got to be on our best behavior.
I wouldn't either, but I would have just thought about it. Thinking of your story about the, you know, there's no coming home video or no booing. I remember when the Timberwolves traded Kevin Love to the Cleveland Cavaliers, and I'm pretty sure you can still find this on YouTube. And it was Kevin Love's first game back at Target Center. Mm-hmm. And I'm pretty sure Flip Saunders was like the president and coach at the time. And I'm pretty sure he was upset because he went to the press conference and said he didn't like the video or whatever, but that the Timberwolves PR team made. And it was a video saying, it's a hype video, basically. Get ready to come to Target Center. And it was like all the names on the Cavaliers is like LeBron James, Kyrie Irving, J.R. Smith, Iman Shumpert, Tristan Thompson, and the return of, and of course you expected to say Kevin Love, and the return of Mike Miller.
I remember that.
Oh, that was hilarious. Oh, man.
That is funny. Good. Yeah, they didn't do that to me. So
yeah.
That day. But yeah, no, that's funny. Yeah, that's probably one that, the whole welcome home video thing has become kind of weird too, where it's an expect, because like, again, the fact that the Wolves felt like they had to do it for Malik Beasley and Jared Vanderbilt, like.
Did they?
Yeah. I mean, it was on a long one, but they did a little like.
A little tribute.
Welcome back to Minnesota.
You don't need to tribute role players.
No, that's what I mean. Like, it's kind of like, where's the line here? You know, like.
Where would you say the line is?
I feel like you got to be a star and or somebody like you. I think you would have to play for the same team for a long time.
Like 15 years. Yeah.
Yeah. Or I mean, even like, I mean, if like if Towns, let's say Towns got traded, hypothetically, like that's probably a welcome back video. You know, he's been the best player on our team for what, 7-8 years now. Like,
right.
He's had an impact on the Timberwolves franchise. Like, you know, that's enough where I guess you'd probably do something. You know, there needs to be a level of impact, and whether that means you were a star for a while or if you're a role player forever, you know, Tony Parker, that probably is one you want to give a tribute video to when he was playing for the Hornets for some reason. You know?
Yeah. So. Oh man, it's so funny when you look at NBA careers, and you could go way back. And you look at careers of NBA players, and it's like, what? Tracy McGrady played for the New York Knicks at one point.
Yeah.
Patrick Ewing, he played for the Orlando Magic. Are you kidding me? Like, there's so many.
Olajuwon and the Raptors. Right?
Yes. For a year. Yeah. It's like, it's so crazy how at the end of careers where players maneuver through different teams.
And if Jordan, I mean, Jordan was still good enough, so it wasn't as embarrassing. But yeah, Jordan and the Wizards is still always weird.
Yeah.
You know, again, he's at least good enough that it was respectable and weird. But yeah, it's weird when that, like if Dirk would have left or Tim Duncan, like that would have just been.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. For sure. It would have been wrong.
Yeah.
But
it would have been sand in my eyes to see what I saw.
Yeah.
All right. 1 minute. Should the Vikings trade, resign, or restructure, or release Kirk Cousins this offseason?
So is this the only one we're doing today?
Yeah.
Do the rest next week.
little preview.
Little preview. Kirk, I would say we don't have a backup plan, right? Our who's our dude? I already forgot who we signed this year. Who was
Nick
our,
Mullins?
Nick Mullins. I knew it was the San Fran guy. Okay, there you go. Nick Mullins. Obviously, he's not the backup plan. So we don't have any youth, like anybody who could even potentially be a quarterback someday, right?
Right.
The odds that we address that in the draft are low. Maybe at some point, but we're not obviously picking somebody who we think could instantly or even in a year be a starter. So I think if they can restructure with Kirk and add a year and maybe spread out that money a little bit to help this year's cap situation, that's probably the most ideal situation for the Vikings. Because the offense is good enough to be in the mix for a Super Bowl. Now we'll see once the reshuffling happens. But I think with the offensive line we have is solid enough. And you have Justin Jefferson. The other receivers matter, but also don't really matter. Like, you can plug in 2 and 3 receivers and we'll be just fine. Hockenson's an elite tight end, and Kirk's good enough to get it done. Whether it's Cook or a decent running back like Madison, I think that's good enough for the offense. So I don't think you want to destroy the progress the offense has made by you know, again, the, you know, getting rid of Kirk Cousins just yet. So
right. A lot of the conversation is about his cap hit and, you right. know, it's so that's much money key. Or whatever. And, yeah. you know, you look at some of the teams in the big game that could be. You got Joe Burrow. He's on a rookie contract. Mahomes, he's getting paid a whole bunch of money. But then you've got the 49ers. Brock Purdy's on a rookie contract.
Yeah.
And so is Jalen Hurts. But yeah. my thing is, it's like, okay, all of these guys, except for maybe Brock Purdy, are going to be receiving $35, $40 million contracts. So maybe let's revisit that conversation in about a year or two or 3 years when all the names that I listed are making $35 to $40 million.
That's just like the NBA. I mean, the best chance you have to win is if you have a star on the rookie contract, because that means you probably have guys around him. Now, that takes a lot of luck, obviously. Like, that just takes good timing and good luck, right? Picking
it's
the right guy.
It's so hard to draft a quarterback.
Right. It's the same. Yeah, quarterback. It's like the odds that you have a rookie contract guy who's good enough to get you to the Super Bowl in that short little 4 year window.
And that's my thing, you know, like that short 4 year, like people are like, oh, let's get rid of Kirk Cousins. Let's sign a rookie quarterback and let's make a Super Bowl run, as if it's automatic that you're going to get a great quarterback and have great pieces around him.
Right. Cheap quarterbacks aren't necessarily good quarterbacks. Obviously it's, you need to get lucky. I mean, like, even like you think about the Cardinals, right? They spent their first round pick on Josh Rosen that 1 year.
Yeah.
Who, you know, again, top tier quarterback, supposed to be a game changer. And then literally the next year they spent another one on Kyler Murray because they, you know, a guy that everyone thought was going to be good wasn't, you know, and this is, you don't know until you know. And sometimes you got to get lucky to, you know, people thought Christian Ponder was good, you know, that was a high
first round pick. Yeah. Right.
Not that we thought he was going to be, you know, I was about to say Patrick Mahomes, but obviously it's not going to work as an analogy because he's the timing of it doesn't really work.
I like it. Anyway.
But just, I mean, that he wasn't going to be a, you know, Troy
Mahomes like player. Troy Aikman. Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, whatever. Yeah. I don't know. I think the move is to extend him another year.
Yeah.
But eventually, at some point, you do have to swallow up that massive $40 million. But you got to think about keeping everybody happy here. If you're going to restructure the defense, which sounds like a lot of guys are going to get released defensively, you got to have a capable quarterback that's going to be able to overcome a year or two of just a defense that, I mean, they stunk last year, this year, but that are going to stink again.
Yep.
So that's my take on it.
Did you hear Florio's rant on PA's show that made a little bit of waves?
I heard Common Man tease it going into break. He said there's some controversy on 9 to noon, and then it didn't.
You heard Common Man do a tease?
Yeah.
That was a rare moment.
Yeah. I'm a big Common Man guy.
I like him a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. And he was doing a tease going into break saying a lot of controversy on 9 to noon, and then I got out of the car because I was at the place where I was, so I missed it.
Sure. Yeah, it was basically a couple. Well, his segment, he spent a bunch of time talking about how Kirk Cousins, like, basically, essentially, will never be like a championship quarterback. Like, when it matters most, Kirk's not winning playoff games, and he never will, kind of thing.
Yeah.
He compared him to like Jimmy Garoppolo and guys like that look okay, but you know they aren't going to get it done. So, like, he was comparing him to, like, Burrow, like how Burrow rises up to get things done kind of thing.
Sure, sure. And this isn't going to be any groundbreaking stuff, but you put Brock Purdy in a Minnesota Vikings uniform and everyone has a different thought about Brock Purdy, right? I mean, it's like so much of it is situation and coaching and players around you, not that that's, like, a hot take or something.
Well, the key is, I feel like what people forget with Kirk Cousins, you know, there's 32 NFL teams and
God.
32.
I think there's 30.
Four. Yeah. No, 32. Four times four, 16 times two is six. Yeah, 32.
Yeah, 32, like I said.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I thought you said 30.
I did.
Oh. I was like, what? Okay.
What?
There's 32 starting quarterbacks, right?
Yeah.
And in any given year, how many of them are ones you don't want? 10 to 15 maybe are guys that, like, you just know are never going to be a playoff quarterback or Super Bowl quarterback.
Right.
Kirk doesn't fall on that list. He's at the very bottom of the other list, which is guys that are just capable enough.
Yeah.
You know, he's not going to win you a Super Bowl by like Patrick Mahomes-ing you there or Joe Burrow-ing you there or Josh Allen-ing you there, which he doesn't have. He hasn't done yet either, by the way.
Right.
He's struggled in big games, big time, which you don't hear about. or Rodgers or Brady, right? Those guys can literally drag your team to a Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. Kirk's not that good, but in the right situation, can he get you to an NFC championship or a Super Bowl? You know, Jimmy Garoppolo did. He got you to the Super Bowl because they had a good defense and he was a good, solid quarterback. And that's where I think Vikings fans just need to all agree, like, that's where Kirk is. He's not top 10. He's not bottom 10. He's somewhere in the middle that can do a lot of good things when you have a good defense.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, the only way the Vikings would have made a run would have been with a Mahomes because our defense was so bad.
Yeah.
You know, the Giants went from looking like the Monstars.
Oh, man. Oh, sad. Seriously.
They looked like a peewee team the next week.
Yeah.
It was terrible.
It's sad. It truly was sad watching that game.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's going to do it for this week of the Minnesota Tim and Jake's Takes podcast. That was sensational stuff. Mm-hmm. Sensational. I'm going to struggle coming up with a title for this podcast. So maybe throw me a couple of ideas if you wouldn't mind. You're the title guy too. You're the Minnesota Tim interpreter, the title guy. Mm.
Well, I would say we could do like, you know,
shop talk,
suck it, Fink, but that might be too, might be too aggressive. And do the little cutout of the video and then tweet it at him. That's what happened last time. He wasn't very happy with that. So maybe we'll do that this time. As much as we both love Fink.
Sorry, I didn't mean to put you
in. No, he was laughing about it.
Okay. Well, forgive me.
And we went golfing still, so everything's good.
Yeah,
I made sure I texted him right away. I'm like, I would still love to golf with you and be invited, right?
You let him win? You let him win that one?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I'm like, just remember, you beat me by 40 strokes when we go golfing. So
yeah. Good idea. Let him win. Let him win some.
Yeah. Gotta do something.
Let a blind squirrel get a nut every once in a while.
Yep. Yeah.
Don't deprive the man. All right, everyone. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Minnesota Tim of the Minnesota Tim podcast. Jake, as always, thank you very much.
Thank you.
It was a pleasure.